Father, just as we just sung, would we be still and know that you are God. To know that as we open up your word, it is your very own words that have been breathed out and recorded down for us. That it is holy and authoritative and powerful. And so would we be humble and contrite of spirit and tremble at your word. Would we come seeking to hear from your word and what you have said and spoken? Would we come desiring to be changed and transformed from the inside out by your Spirit's power? Would we come seeking to be obedient to your will and your word and your ways according to your perfect wisdom? Would we come seeking to be able to learn these truths so that we can share with those around us? That we can be better ministers of comfort and encouragement to those who are in need of hearing this truth. And Father, would you work all these things out in your perfect ways in each one of our lives in the midst of this body here? And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. A poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive warning. For he has come out of prison to become king, even though he was born poor in his kingdom. I have seen all the living who walk about under the sun go along with the second lad who stands in place of him. There is no end to all the people, to all who were before them, and even the ones who will come later will not be glad with him. For this too is vanity and striving after wind. I've titled this message, History Moves On. Injustice, wickedness, oppression, jealousy, rivalry, laziness, aloneness, selfishness are all under the sun realities. This is life in a fallen and fleeting world under the curse that is filled with sinners. And this is what Solomon has been instructing us and causing us to be confronted with, to come face to face with this reality. Going back to chapter 3, verse 16, he says, I have seen under the sun. Chapter 3, verse 22, I've seen that nothing is better than that man should be glad in his works. Chapter 4, verse 1, then I looked again at all the acts of oppression. Chapter 4, verse 4, I've seen that every labor and every success of the work is a result of jealousy. We see in chapter 4, in our passage this afternoon, verse 15, I've seen all the living who walk about under the sun go along with the second lad. Solomon is giving us his observations of life as it really is. Even in chapter 3, verse 10, he says, I've seen the endeavor which God has given the sons of men, recognition and acknowledgement that we're all sinners, with which to occupy themselves. And so this is life in a fallen, fleeting world, under the curse, filled with sinners. And at its core, this has to do with one's love for God and one's love for neighbor, or lack thereof. When you don't love God, when you don't love your neighbor, you will have injustice and oppression and jealousy and rivalry and selfishness. And so this impacts all spheres of life. And it goes against having and experiencing the good life, which will only fully and truly be enjoyed if you are in Christ. And we looked at that last week in chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, where Solomon observed the problems of being alone so that we would understand the blessings of companionship and community and the necessity of human companionship and mutual cooperation that we are to have with one another. And he presented five vital benefits that you will be missing out on if you don't have that community and strong and deep friendships with one another. First one he pointed out was in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, that you would be lacking or missing out on fulfillment. The lack of inner fulfillment when one lives and labors only for oneself. He had everything, but he had no one to share it with. And then verse 9, you have the second vital benefit that you would be missing out, not only fulfillment, but also good reward. In light of the labor and toil, which is hard and difficult and wearisome in this world, it becomes a good return or a good reward because there's someone to benefit and bless. And unless the benefits of hard work are shared with someone else, toil has no gain and has no return. The third thing we saw that you would be missing out on is verse 10, and that's help. We all need help. We persevere when we have others around us, as simply as falling down in a ditch and someone being there to help us out of that ditch. Verse 11, we have the fourth thing we would be missing out on, and that's comfort. Not having anyone to keep warm with. Another's presence and comfort to be there in our time of extreme need. In verse 12, we saw the fifth vital benefit that you'd be missing out on, and that is protection. 2 verses 1 is better than 1 verses 1. It's good to have a group of people around you to support and protect and defend alongside of you. And Solomon ends verse 12 with saying, a cord of 3 strands is not quickly torn apart. So what Solomon is saying and what he wants us to understand are the blessings of companionship and community, interdependence, because this is how God has designed us to function according to his will and to be blessed by it and also be a blessing to others as a result of it. And just as injustice and wickedness and oppression and jealousy and rivalry and laziness and aloneness and loneliness and selfishness are realities that continue on in this world under the sun, under the curse, so are political leaders that rise and fall, that come and go, that are periodically replaced when their term ends. But we cannot forget that this happens all under the sovereignty and plan of God, and according to his perfect timing, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is nothing new under the sun. When we look around at what's going on in our world or our nation in particular, or even in our state in particular, there is nothing new under the sun. If you go back to the Old Testament and you just read the book of Judges, we studied 1 and 2 Samuel, and you saw that Saul was the king, and then came David, and then after David was Solomon. Now we're in 1 and 2 Kings, and you have Solomon and the divided kingdom that happened after him, and now the kings of Israel, and also the kings of Judah. And not only are these judges and leaders and kings flawed and imperfect, but so are the people who take their side and follow them. We can't just view them as imperfect and we're perfect, and things would be so much better if they just ruled righteously. People take their side and follow them, and they can also quickly turn against them. This demonstrates that people are fickle. They are loyal one day, and then they're your enemies the next day. They love you one day, hate you the next day. They support you one day, and then they're gone. Nevertheless, history moves on. But history moves on according to God's perfect timing and plan, unto the full fulfillment of all his covenants and all of his promises to his people. And we need to be reminded of that in this really politically charged culture, where presidents and politicians can be viewed as quasi-saviors of the world. Everyone's looking to them to transform society, to bring about paradise. That they are the ultimate determiner of what happens in this world. That they hold all power and all authority. That they can rescue and deliver societies and nations through their actions. But all of that is just not true. And it's unrealistic. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of Yahweh. He turns it wherever he pleases. Solomon wants us now to be confronted with not just all the realities that he's already laid out for us, but he wants our thinking and perspective to be rightly informed and shaped, thus affecting our responses to it. He wants us to respond well to the oppression and and wickedness that's going on in this world. He wants us to respond well to the change of leadership that's going to happen over and over and over again. And so in these verses, Solomon observes the benefits of wisdom. He returns to this idea of wisdom, this concept of wisdom. He observes the benefits of wisdom and popularity, as well as the fickleness and fleeting nature of wisdom and popularity. And we will see this through the temporary and continual cycle of earthly leadership and those who go along with them, that it doesn't last, and history will continue to move on. And so in verses 13 and 14, we'll see better for now. Things are better for now. There's a king who has replaced his old foolish king who's wise. And so it's better for now. And then verse 15, we'll see, then who knows? We don't know who's going to come after this wise, poor lad. And then verse 16, we'll see that on and on it goes. And so we'll move from better for now to then who knows to on and on it goes. The temporary, continual cycle of earthly leadership and those who go along with them. First, we'll look at verses 13 and 14, better for now. Again, a poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive warning. For he has come out of prison to become king, even though he was born poor in his kingdom. Solomon states that it is better to be wise than a fool. And he's already stated that for us in chapter 2, verse 13. He says, I saw that there is an advantage in wisdom over simple-minded folly, as light has an advantage over darkness. There are advantages to being wise. And it can even lead to obtaining high positions, despite unlikely circumstances and the odds being against you. In this case, being born poor and even having spent some time in prison. And often prisons at that time were filled with individuals who were unable to pay for their debts or to fulfill their financial obligations. This most likely would have been the case for this poor lad being born poor into poverty. But even then, there will be people who will acknowledge and appreciate one who conducts themselves with integrity and honesty, who demonstrates an ability and a discernment to think soundly, who understands the need for the counsel of others. And this lad was poor, but he was wise. And being wise, we see here, is not a direct correlation with age. You can be a lad or younger in age and be wise. You can be old and be foolish. And verse 13 highlights one area in particular that makes one foolish. What does the end of verse 13 say? Who no longer knows how to receive warning. Someone who doesn't need others, who is wise in their own eyes, who turns away and shuns instruction and warning and admonishment because they are always right. This is foolish behavior, foolish thinking, and it impacts others as well, especially for those in leadership positions and those under them. Proverbs 11, verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is salvation. Proverbs 15, 22, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Proverbs 26, 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. And so here we see this king is not only acting foolishly, but he is the fool of fools. He no longer knows how to receive warning. There are benefits to wisdom and popularity, but neither age nor status guarantee wisdom. And so at that time, for that period of time, the people came to see the foolishness of the old king. And he was replaced by a poor yet wise lad. And this will not last. History moves on. And so we go from what is better for now to verse 15, then who knows? In verses 13 and 14, we had the poor yet wise lad who became king. And that was according to God's sovereign timing and appointment, but it was not lasting. It was only temporary. Now we are introduced to a second lad who stands in place of him. In other words, in verse 15, the second lad replaces the poor yet wise lad. Verse 15, I have seen all the living who walk about under the sun go along with the second lad who stands in place of him. And notice nothing else is said about this second lad. Whether he's young or old, whether he's wise or foolish. Also, nothing else is said about the poor yet wise lad and what happened to him. The only thing we can say based upon verse 15 is that eventually the people are now going along with the second lad. And this is a deliberate change or movement away from the first lad. Their allegiance and loyalty have shifted. The New American Standard Translation, verse 15, says, I have seen all the living under the sun throng to the side of the second lad who replaces him. The ESV, I saw all the living who move about under the sun go along with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. Their loyalties have shifted. They're now following someone else. And there's so many questions that are left unanswered. Is this second lad foolish? Have the people moved on in the direction of more evil and wickedness themselves? Did the poor yet wise king also no longer know how to receive warning and instruction? And what impact will this have? There is an intentional tension with the presented uncertainties and unknowns. And with that, we have to learn to accept it. We have to accept the unknowns and the uncertainties of life, to acknowledge that we are not in control and we don't know everything. And there's a common refrain in our household. Anytime we're talking about something, no matter what it is, and the words, who knows, comes up immediately, Charlotte and Lucy will yell out, God knows. We could be talking about super random things. And who knows? God knows. God knows. Yes, he does. And sometimes it's just that simple declaration that we need to hear and be reminded of. God knows. And he is in full and absolute sovereign control. Not only that, he's absolutely trustworthy as well. And he is good. God's plan, if you go back in history, wasn't frustrated or thwarted, didn't come to an end with Pontius Pilate and his ordering for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was brought to fulfillment through Pontius Pilate. God knows what he's doing. He knows all the corruption and wickedness that is going on behind closed doors. He sees and hears all the interactions amongst those who hold delegated power and authority. He sees even down into the evil intentions of their hearts. And everything will be brought to account. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Solomon has already said, furthermore, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there is wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, there's wickedness. So we ought not be surprised. Then he says in verse 17, chapter 3, I said in my heart, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man. For a time for every matter and for every work is there. God knows and God will judge accordingly. We don't know who is next in line. But we don't need to. We need to trust in God who is over all of history. And so we've seen from better for now with the replacement of the old foolish king with the poor yet wise lad to who comes after him after the people have shifted their loyalties and allegiances. Better for now to then who knows. Lastly, verse 16, on and on it goes. There is no end to all the people, to all who were before them, and even the ones who will come later will not be glad with him. For this too is vanity and striving after wind. This is the fleeting, temporary, short-lived nature of popularity and position. It doesn't last. It's been said, quote, today's hero is tomorrow's bum. He too will go the way of the old king, not necessarily for his faults, but simply as time and familiarity and the restlessness of people make him no longer interesting. He has reached the pinnacle of human glory only to be stranded there, close quote. Loyalties shift with the wind, and leaders will disappoint. This is the frustration of living in a Genesis 3 world under the sun. This is why the end of verse 16 says, for this too is vanity and striving after wind. The reign of a king or of any leader is as temporary as a breath, a vapor, a mist. And we can't herd the wind or control the direction of the wind in terms of what the outcome will be and who the people will follow. and how they will lead. Just when we think things are getting better, they can quickly take a turn for the worse. And just when we think things can't get worse, they get even worse. And we don't expect good, good comes. In regard to this cycle, on and on it goes. And we need to have the right thinking and perspective about this reality and not place our hope in shifting shadows. We can cry out, "How long, O Lord?" As Christians, we shouldn't exclaim that in frustration, but in anticipation of the one true King who is coming to establish his everlasting kingdom on earth over all the nations, where there will be perfect peace, justice, and righteousness. We need to know and believe and live with confidence and hope that there will be a break in this cycle at the appointed time when Christ returns to take his kingdom. But only if you are in Christ will you be able to enter the kingdom of God. If you're not in Christ, you will be cast into the lake of fire, eternal hell, forever in physical and spiritual conscious torment. Everything is headed towards God's eternal kingdom. Unless one is born again, John chapter 3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You are spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. The wages of sin is death. But the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God is perfectly holy and just, and so your sins deserve the righteous wrath of God. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, he sent forth his Son, his only begotten Son, the Savior, born of a virgin, the God-man, into the world to redeem, reconcile sinners to himself through the life, death, resurrection of Jesus. So that all who repent and believe in the person and accomplished work of Jesus Christ will be saved. They will have forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. They will enter into the kingdom of God. And they will be ruled under the only righteous King. If you have received the good news of the gospel through faith, then know that you are born again by the grace of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one would boast. Also know that you have been chosen to be God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as Christians, we can easily forget the promises that are ours in Christ and live as those who have no hope in the midst of this world. And instead of proclaiming the gospel that saves, our hearts can become hardened and embittered, anxious and fearful, in a spirit of defeat or indifference can creep in and cause us to pursue different means of either escape or isolation in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, rather than to be salt and light, holding fast and forth the word of life as ambassadors for Christ. We're so taken aback by the direction of our culture when God's word tells us exactly what is going to happen. We ought not be surprised. History moves on. There will be leader after leader after leader. But our calling stays the same. Our trust is to remain in God. Our hope is to be in Christ. Our dependence is to be upon the Holy Spirit. And so in these verses, Solomon observes the benefits of wisdom and popularity as well as the fickleness and fleeting nature of wisdom and popularity. The temporary continual cycle of the earthly leaders and those who go along with them, it doesn't last. Verse 13, 14, we saw the better for now. And let's just say that's the situation we're in. We're to praise God and thank him. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist have been appointed by God. But even if the one appointed by God governs foolishly, we are still to line up under them in respect and obedience to God's means and order in the world. And thank God for the position itself because of the function and role that it is intended and purposed to have for our good. And furthermore, we are to pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. First of all, then, I exhort that petitions and prayers, requests and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. The answer is not, we're only going to do that if they do their part. We're also reminded in 1 Peter chapter 1, Christians suffering under persecution. Peter says, therefore, having girded your minds for action, being sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not being conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be yourselves also in all your conduct. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are to understand the world that we live in according to God's word and be faithful to walk in his word. So we move on from better for now to then who knows in verse 15. So whoever's next, that shouldn't faze us. We just keep walking according to the word and being faithful to the will of God. In verse 16, on and on it goes. So what's our response? We keep walking according to the word and being faithful to God. As he allows more and greater opportunities for light to shine in the darkness. And this doesn't mean we don't stand firm or do what is permissible biblically or even according to our rights as citizens. But we do so understanding that God is ultimately sovereign and that our hope is to be in him, and that his providence, as things unfold, is a great comfort and reliever to us, no matter what our desired outcome may be, if we are trusting in him and who he is, and we believe that he, his purposes and will are perfect. Politics brings no lasting change. Placing your hope in earthly political leaders is vanity and striving after wind. Only believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ will bring about lasting change. Jesus is the one who will make all things right. He is the one who overcomes the world and sin and death and Satan. He's the rightful and righteous and all-wise king, and there will be no end to his coming kingdom. All of history will culminate in his kingdom. Are you a part of the kingdom of God? And as we go about in this world, as the Lord would have it, at this specific time, in this specific place, under these specific appointed rulers, governing authorities, would we respond rightly? Would we respond according to God's word and according to his will? And would we continue to shine as light and be salt and proclaim the gospel which has the power to save and not look to and place our hope in these earthly political leaders and what they're doing or not doing, but fulfill our calling to our Master and our Lord? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder as we go about life in this fallen world that we do need to be confronted with these realities and to accept and submit to it and even rest in your sovereignty and providence as things unfold. And Father, we're grateful that though we may have desired outcomes, whatever outcomes come to be, we know it is under your sovereign will. And so that even brings us comfort to know that you are in control of that, that you didn't want that specific person that we wanted to be in place or power, but you would rather have this other person. And you have purposes that are beyond our understanding. And Father, you have all of history already planned out. We only see part of it. And so, Father, help us not to lose hope. Help us not to resort to doubting who you are or your goodness or your love, but help us to cling to with great confidence your promises and your trustworthy word. Father, help us to be as your church ambassadors for your son. Help us to hold out the word of life, the word of truth, the gospel that saves, and proclaim it with boldness and zealousness, earnestness, to be in prayer for those who are over us in governing positions, to be in prayer for those in our lives who are lost and blinded by the evil one. Father, help us to be faithful to you at all costs, even if that means we have to face the consequences, but to know that we are pleasing in your sight. And so, Father, help us to do all things for you, unto you, for your glory alone. We pray these things in the name of your Son. Amen.